I'll lead a guided motivation to generate an altruistic intention as our reason for being here, and then we'll proceed with the guided meditation. We'll take a few more minutes to just do some meditation, reflection, in order to bring into our mind positive thoughts and aspirations as our reason, our motivation for being here and participating in this session. So Tibetan lamas often say at the beginning of a teaching, for example, all sentient beings want happiness and all sentient beings do not want to suffer. So this is a fairly simple idea, but it's one that we may not think about very much. And if we do think about it, it's enormously helpful to open our minds and our hearts to other people, other beings, and enable our minds to feel more love and compassion for them. And even beyond that, to feel the wish to help them, to do what we can to help them. So just for a few moments, contemplate that idea. All living beings, that means everyone, all the human beings on this planet, and also all the living beings, animals and so on, they're just trying to stay alive and fulfill their needs for food and shelter and safety. And they're trying to avoid suffering, sickness, pain, death, hunger, and feeling threatened by others. So this is like a really deep down feeling in the mind of every person and every living being. We all are just trying to avoid problems and pain and suffering. And we're all just trying to fulfill our needs and our wishes and experience peace and happiness. And when the Buddha taught, he did so with full awareness of this fact, this reality of everybody wanting happiness and not suffering. And his teachings were completely dedicated to that goal. Happiness and well-being and peace of all living beings and the freedom from suffering for all living beings. So as we are spending this period of time meditating on and then listening to a talk on the Buddha's teachings, see if you can do it for that same reason, that same goal, wishing to bring about genuine happiness and peace for yourself and everyone else, all living beings, and freedom from suffering and problems and their causes, which lie within our minds, for yourself and for all living beings. So let's spend the first 10 minutes of this meditation session in silence. So you can do whatever meditation practice you know that you would like to do, such as mindfulness meditation, meditation on the breath, meditation on the nature of the mind, whatever. Something that will help your mind to settle down and leave aside busy thoughts of the past or the future or your work, your problems. Just put aside all of those other thoughts and do the best you can to keep your mind right here in the present moment and present place, wherever you are, focused on something positive and constructive, something that will help your mind to be more clear and more peaceful, more open. So now we'll continue the meditation, but doing something a little different. We'll do a guided analytical meditation, but still try your best to keep your mind focused on the meditation and not let it go off and think about other things that are not related to the meditation. So I thought it would be helpful to do a meditation that explores how we connect with others and how we can bring more compassion into our relationships and our interactions with others. To look at situations in which we are able to be compassionate, as well as situations where we are unable to respond compassionately, and instead have other responses that are not compassionate. And we'll also look at ways in which we can start working on that. However, an important point to keep in mind is the need to have compassion for oneself. So during the meditation, do try to avoid having feelings of guilt or shame about any lack of compassion you notice in yourself, and try to avoid scolding yourself or beating yourself up for your mistakes and failures. So being compassionate is a skill to be developed, and it depends on many factors, many causes and conditions, both external and internal. So if you do have a low level of compassion or are challenged in being compassionate, it's not due to any inherent fault of your own, but simply due to not having learned and practiced the right causes and conditions. And the good news is that this can be remedied. We can learn and work on cultivating the causes and conditions that will enable us to be more compassionate. So first of all, I invite you to bring to mind a time when you were able to be compassionate in a situation. For example, you may have noticed a person who was in need of help, and you felt compassion for that person and wanted to help them. And when you assessed the situation, you realized that you were able to step up and offer your help. And even if the other person said, "No thanks, I'm okay," it doesn't matter. The point was that you were willing to help, motivated by compassion. So look into your memory and bring to mind such a situation and review that situation and look at how you felt during the situation and also afterwards. And remember that it's healthy and positive to rejoice in good things that we do. So there's nothing wrong with feeling happy that we were able to act with compassion. But on the other hand, try to avoid arrogance or comparison with others, like thinking, "Oh, I am so much more compassionate than so-and-so." So those kinds of thoughts are afflicted, so try to avoid those. But instead, just feel happy, feel good, rejoice in the fact that you were able to be compassionate and act compassionately. So just take a few minutes to review that that time, that situation in your mind. Okay, so now bring to mind a time when you failed to have sufficient compassion for another person. So it may have been a person in need of help, or perhaps someone who was in some kind of difficult situation, and instead of compassion, you may have felt judgmental, like, "Well, it served you right. You got yourself into that mess, so you can get yourself out of it." Or your response was just indifference, such that you did not feel motivated to step up and offer help. Or maybe you had fear, apprehension about offering to help. So see if you can recall a situation like that and review that in your mind. And look at how you thought and felt during the situation and also afterwards. And again, don't beat yourself up. Don't let your mind go down that road of self criticism, putting yourself down. Just try to be objective about what was going on in yourself, in your mind, so that you can understand better and work on that for the future. So as you are thinking back on that situation, see if you can identify what were the factors in yourself, in your mind, that blocked your compassion from arising. Or even if you did feel compassion, you may have felt blocked from doing something, acting on your compassion. So when you are able to identify the factors that block your compassion, ask yourself if those are permanent, inherent parts of you that are always there and will always be there, can never be overcome. Or are they impermanent? Do they come and go? And so sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. They're not an inherent part of you and your mind. And also ask yourself if there are remedies to those factors, things you can do to decrease them. So if you do recognize there are remedies to those factors, see if you can resolve to work on them, to apply those remedies, and have confidence that over time, those aspects of your mind can decrease in strength and frequency, and your compassion and other positive qualities can increase. So now think back again about that situation, the one you just thought about where your compassion was blocked, and imagine that you have the chance to relive it. So visualize that situation again, but this time imagining yourself feeling more compassion and maybe even showing your compassion, acting in a more compassionate way. So now, looking at that imagined situation, what are your thoughts and feelings?